Welcome into episode 174 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got What's Crack, a retreat section announcement, coming up, me section, and a shoppy section. Oh, and I will have two extra dogs because I've got Tessa and Katie Daly come for a visit with Brooker, so they'll be rummaging around. Okay, I'll turn this off now. I'm on the phone. Granny and Grandad are up for the weekend, so I've actually grabbed a little while, but not enough time to use the proper editing suite. So I'm going to do this on a phone and be as professional as possible, but you get the good time music, the country and the division, which you know how I like to play with that. Right, let's make sure that you can hear me, 50%. Okay, this episode is kindly sponsored by our good friends from Loch Ness Knit Fest. You're welcome to the beautiful Highlands of Scotland for Loch Ness Knit Fest 2017. And that is going to be in the Inverness Ice Centre on the 13th to the 15th of October this year, 2017. Inspired by the hugely successful Danish Fano Strik Festival, Loch Ness Knit Fest pulls on the rich cultural crafting traditions of Scotland. Join the thousands of visitors that are expected to flock to Inverness from all over the world for this wonderfully woolly event. The truly unique programme is bursting with creativity that's sure to inspire your knitting projects and provide lots of opportunity to meet new people. The best bit, your festival entry is free when you purchase a ticket to any of the Loch Ness Knit Fest workshops. Browse the Loch Ness Knit Fest marketplace with 40 plus stalls selling irresistible quality yarn and other crafty goodies. To make your trip all the more memorable, you can experience Highland hospitality firsthand with a knitter's special cruise of Loch Ness, a ceilidh dance with renowned Scottish band Blazing Fiddles, or seat at the annual gala dinner complete with exclusive fashion show. Check out the Loch Ness Knit Fest website for further details, and it is at www.lochnessknitfest.com or email ask@lochnessknitfest.com. Are you a Ravelrer? Because they are on Ravelry as LA Knit Fest and would love for you to befriend us. We also host a group where Loch Ness Knit Fest goers can chat ahead of the event. And if any of you are thinking, find that, well, go into my profile because I am in the group and it'll be one of the group pictures down the left hand side there. I'll also tell you that Blazing Fiddles, I have seen them live and they are awesome. So if you're wanting as much awesomeness with your yarn as you are with your Scottish ceilidh band, then you are in for an absolute treat. I'm absolutely delighted that I don't have to go all the way down the E9, so I get to stop in Inverness. And thank you for the sponsorship. Hello section, a Sandy hello to you to me. Oh, actually, no, Louise, hello to you to me. Been with me for a while now and been with me forever, listeners. I really do appreciate you tuning in and I hope that you're enjoying yourself. Louise, hello to new group members. Saturday Sunny, and she's from Renfrewshire, and Pink Pot, who's from the UK. Random hellos are to Daisy Frog, Daisy Knit, Sally from Idaho, and Memphis Holly, and Not Just Hats. And lastly, Silver Spring Knit Nora, who I noticed her buy-at by Karina Westerman looks like a piano keyboard from a distance. When you're looking at it on a big screen and it's the little box in the corner of my group. But it's really beautiful. I didn't realise you'd finished it, so I'm delighted with that. Oh, we have dogs woofing in the background. Big hugs to you, Nora, because I know it's been a bit of a rough weekend over your way. What's crack? Well, I was supposed to... I'll say these things. I was supposed to message you all. No, I wasn't. I was supposed to blather to you all, re-record this last week, but my washing machine broke. How domestically boring is that? And we've almost fixed it. Still not quite as good as it's supposed to be, but hopefully that's the time back into my life. And then we went camping. We went up the hill in Caithness called Morven, and most reluctantly, by me. I'm not a big hill walker. But Daisy, the smallest fool in my house, said, yes, Daddy, I will do that. And so off we went, and then we camped at Granny's Highland Hame in Embo. I didn't realise that there was a musical song. I don't know what other kind of song you would have, but it was a musical one. And it was written by Sandy McFarlane quite a long time ago now. It's quite a traditional song. And it's about Granny's Highland home. And it's about how he's moved away because he has to work down in the city, and how he misses his granny in her Highland home. And turns out Granny was the sister of my great-great-grandmother. My uncle told me this when I was like, oh, we're at Granny's Highland home. And he says, oh, that song was written for your sister of your great-great-grandmother. So it was really quite interesting. Tessa's come to say hello. They might be a bit noisy today, I'm afraid, but can't get rid of them just now. So we went to see Dunrobin Castle, and the falconry display there was amazing. And also we went to a distillery. Yep, and we went to see Tiernanaich Distillery, which is in Olness. Never opens, but they were having a special opening, and Richard decided that we would go, and we did, and we have bought a couple of bottles, so we will record a drams in due course, and you'll get to hear what we thought of the distillery and the dram probably in the next episode. I'm in training for a half marathon at the end of August, so I've decreed that I am off the drink. I had a drink when I was camping, because to me tents equals camping. And we had a very noisy family, and we weren't noisy, we were very good. We've got noisy dogs trotting around, but hopefully they'll go and settle down now. And so once the half marathon is finished, then we'll crack into the drams. Right, onto the retreat. I am now officially opening for your interest for next year's retreat. Some of you have actually sent me messages and registered your interest, and that's fine, you are on the list. But for everybody else, officially now I have to start just getting it booked in. The dates are Thursday the 24th of May through to Sunday the 27th of May 2018. The venue is the same as last year at Natural Retreats Chalets in John O'Groats, and the exact cost is going to be about £310 for that. And you get your bed and breakfast for 3 days, and home baking and one workshop, a goodie bag, and prizes and raffles and stuff. And I shall entertain you all weekend. I shan't sing to you too much. I will. But I'll pretend I'm not going to, so that I'll entice you in. Because if I say that, you'll run away screaming, no, I'm not going. So, previous attendees from this past year, you have first refusal. I understand some of you might not be able to make it back for whatever reasons. And quite all right, absolutely no reason that you definitely have to come back every year. Lovely if you can make it. And if not, then maybe we'll see you another time. But we have 15 places, and I would require them all filled, please. So I'm going to open up the 2018 retreat thread on Ravelry, and if you want to register your interest in it, I message me as well and put your name on there, and I will get to you next episode with the exact cost. I actually need to sit down with the spreadsheet and just double check exactly how much it's going to be, because the chalet price has actually gone up a little bit, and Mr. Hunt likes to make sure that we're not going to be out of pocket, basically. And the rule of thumb is basically we pay for the accommodation, and there can be no refund on once the accommodation has to be paid from me to you. But we work out, it'll be fine, and it'll be a weekend of fun. I will come in a little bit more information next episode, but I want to get the announcement out because Getting on. We're in August now, again. Right. Probably heard me slurping there, sorry. I try not to, but I'm a little bit dehydrated because I was out running this morning. 12 miles of running. It's not going as easily as the last half marathon, but it's going, and it's getting there. And the better training, the better event you have. Right, coming up, Perth Festival is on the 10th of September. That's fair coming round now. And it's easy for pretty much the whole of Central Belt too, because all roads and rail lead to Perth. So have fun, because turns out I'm doing Mother of Flying Monkey duty that weekend. So you will all have to have the fun without me. Wheelie, wheelie, wheelie. I thought that the Wizard of Oz that Daisy's in production for Thurso Players was the weekend after. No, it's that weekend. And I'm going to have a serious FOMO, fear of missing out. I'm not going to be looking at Instagram that weekend. No, 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 I won't. Stick tight bottom lip. And wishes you all the fun of the festival. And then on the 1st of October, the Cheshire Fibre Festival is going to be held. And that's at the Mart Hall Village Hall. Starring Nick from Tales Yarns from the Plane. And you will have fun with her. And then in November, there is Festival down south, Hitchin in Hertfordshire, and that's Gardening Witch Jane. So she's written for me. Festival is a yarn and fibre festival for lovers of textile art, that's me, sewing, knitting and crochet. It's held in Hitchin in Hertfordshire in the UK, and it's in its fourth year, and it features about 60 independent craftspersons and designers whose wares include yarn, fibre, notion and patterns. This year, the event is in a new location at the Priory School, Bedford Road, Hitchin. It will be held on Saturday the 11th of November from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. As well as the exhibitors, there will be workshops, book signings, presentations and demos. The tickets cost £7 on the door, can be booked in advance for £5 or £4 for concessions, children between 11 and 16, and children under 11 have free admission. That's actually really good. It's a great price. For more details, including a list of exhibitors and to book tickets or places at the workshops, please visit www.festiwheel.com. Jane will be there as Gardening Witch Designs with her wares, including project bags, stitch markers and shawl pins. And she has some lovely project bags. You know, I have to give her that. They're not tart ones, so it's okay. And stitch markers are beautiful and presented beautifully and excellent. Yep. Kind of hoping that Jane is going to come up to the retreat next year. So if you all go there, spend your money, then she will be able to put some penny stores, come and see me. And yeah, I'm really selfish that way. So selfishly, this leads on to the Loch Ness Knit Fest on the 13th to the 15th of October. I am going on the Saturday and I'm just going to be going up and down the road, which is quite a normal trip for Caithnesians. And I'm taking the two-handed Fair Isle with Catherine Limer and turning sideways with Woolly Wormhead. I'm very, very excited about both of them and I have to do some homework for both of them. Certainly the Fair Isle anyway. I will be floating about in the marketplace at the lunchtime, so I'd love to catch up with you so then. So if you see me, just come over and say hello. And I'm bringing Mum, so we will be extra hugging. I'm a hugger. Now this year's Loch Ness Knit Fest, or the LNKF as no one's calling it, is running a charity knit along, which I mentioned a couple of episodes back. And this is for the Queen Mother's Clothing Guild, and it was founded in 1882. I'm going to come back to this part in a second, but there was an email came out this week, and the Loch Ness Knit Fest have a colour this year of yarn, and it's going to be a show special, and it's Dye Ninja, who has dyed for the Queen Mother's Clothing Guild, sort of fame, the Lady of May. And it's a beautiful soft blue because the Queen Mother really, really liked that. And a lot of her tartans and tweedy stuff in the Castle of May are in that lovely bonny light blue. And It's, of course, I now want it. It's a colour I would use anyway. And, of course, I live beside me. Although, small note, and I'm not sure, and I don't know if it sounds pedantic of me or not, but they spell it M-A-Y, and I'm assuming, and I might be wrong, if I am, that's good, they've called it the Lady of May, M-A-Y, but if they're meaning the Lady of the Castle of May, that's M-E-Y, because that's where we live, and it's a shame that they never noticed that. I can understand it. If you don't live up here, it would be an easy mistake to make. But Dye Ninja has some really lovely colourways as well. I remember standing in front of her stand a couple of times at Edinburgh Knit Fest, and she has Granny Weatherwax and Terry Pratchett colourways. Well, Terry Pratchett inspired colourways, and I love Terry Pratchett. So I might just have to spend some money at that stand. But that was one thing I thought was really nice. They've tied in the Queen Mother's charity along with the yarn for the festival, which is bonny. And there you go, you know now too. So going on, the Queen Mother's Clothing Guild do a remarkable amount for causes across the UK. The charity is local to us, have benefited from the Guild, including Women's Aid, Rigmore Hospital, Highland Hospice, Horseback UK and Chas Children's Hospice. Now, one of my lovely ladies has just had a 2-week stay at Rigmore, and also other people I know have had stays at the hospice and the children's hospice. So this is quite a good charity, and I just think it's really, really lovely. The Clothing Guild collects knitted items, as well as bed linen, anoraks and other items from generous crafters, and they distribute them across their charity partners after packing and sorting in the autumn. Incredibly, they manage to gather about 20,000 items annually for those in need. So how can you help? Well, that's just the thing. Without people like you who love to knit, hands up here who loves to knit. Me, I've got both my hands up. The charity wouldn't achieve such great things that genuinely aid so many across the country. So we challenge you to get those knitting needles in action and help us add to the collection of crafted wonders. The items that are most in need are hats, gloves, scarves, socks for men, women and children, premature baby clothing, pram or cot blankets, knee rugs, bed blankets. So if you're an avid knitter and able to help, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you're a beginner, a simple knitted square or two will do, and they can transform them into beautiful blankets. This knit along is about the participation and sharing of finished objects. A few prizes will be awarded to people who post in the associated threads on the Ravelry group, Loch Ness Knit Fest chat. Exact details will be confirmed, but they will award prizes for the most helpful and congenial, the most prolific crafter, best team effort, most Highlander themed, random prize draw. Sorry, the laugh was most Highlander themed. I'm just thinking about Highland coups right now. Stuff a Highland coup. Or just use the Highland coup wool. You do get Highland coup wool. Must be a bit. Need that for a blanket, I would imagine. Well, to show how marvellous you are, they would like to display your finished objects at the festivals and present them to the Guild. So please send them to Loch Ness Knit Fest Limited, 8 High Street, Invergordon, Scotland. I like this very, very much. And in fact, so much, I'm going to donate my Croft House hat. I really like my Croft House hat, but I think I like my Booster Beanie better. And I can also knit the Croft House hat again with different colours. You can knit with the yarn that isn't your colour or was given to you, or you've no idea what to do with it, or you've made a hat that doesn't quite fit you properly, or you'd like to make an alteration and, or you've made a mistake in it and you think, that's all I'm ever going to see. Non-knitters don't see these mistakes. So enter stage left Ravelry. So you've got this yarn and type in your yardage and thickness of the yarn and see what patterns pop up in the categories as mentioned before. Hats, gloves, scarves, socks. Really, there's loads of scope for you there. And it's really nice to be able to afford to give things and help others. And I know plenty of people have been assisted by this charity, as I said before. So I'm absolutely delighted and touched that they've decided to sponsor this year. I will again put the info and links to the show notes so you can get this address and finer details if it's appealing to you. Maybe you missed out on my retreat this year, but really fancy coming to Scotland. and I can pretty much guarantee you're going to need knitwear in October in Inverness. So I look forward to seeing you all there. Right, me section. This is what I didn't mention about last episode, because there was lots of interesting Angela to talk about. Well, there's a fair bit, because I've had most of the summer, and also I didn't kind of want to lose your interest or make you think, will she ever shut up? You're still there. I'm actually just wondering what the noise is outside. I don't know what the farmer's doing. Or it could be my dishwasher, which I didn't realise was still on. My washing machine is still playing up, but it's working. So I'm on tenderhooks with machines just now. It's pathetic. First world problems, eh? I have worked on my Dragonflies Rising shawl by Helen Stewart. I was knitting when Richard was still in training, and unfortunately, actually came back quite quickly at the 10-mile TT. I was a little bit disappointed because I was like, at least I'll get a few rows in here. And no. So I made a mistake in the first of the rib pattern row before the holidays, and I've not gone back to it. It's actually, the bag sat there for most of the summer, and I put it away tidy upstairs. And then Daisy got a book out of the library the other day and said, Mum, where's my knitting? And I says, and it's upstairs in that bag, so the bag should come down. But I like it. It's a nice pattern. She's updated it, and I would recommend it. One of you actually finished one quite recently. I can't remember who it was. I saw it on Instagram, and I thought, I'm not there yet. But I'll get there. I think once I've sorted out the rib, it'll go a little bit faster. And then I've got to start, because I'm putting beads on mine. And I'm using some yarn I bought in Washington DC when I was with the lovely Nora, and some beads that I bought when I was in Washington DC when I was with the lovely Nora. So I think about Nora quite often. I finished up the sample from Liz Lovick's Shetland Lace, and it's blogging. I forgot. It's still blogging. It's been blogging all week. Well, drying all week. And it gave me a really lovely idea of the book and the yarn, and both of my stamp of approval. So, and the yarn is knit, so yarns from the plain. I can't remember exactly what it was now. Moving on. All Nick's yarns from the plain are wonderful. And the Liz Lovick Shetland Lace book is nice. Now, in my grab bag, I have some Tunisian crocheted paving mats, and this is Twinset Aylin's pattern, and I'm using Mode Knit yarn, which has all the colours, and it's very like the Knitting Goddess kind of dyeing, which I love. I have a yellow base from Yarns from the Plain and a multicoloured second colour as from Mode Knits, and these are my mitts, and they're fabulous for working on in the car or waiting on children from swimming or flying monkey practice for the Wizard of Oz. And I have the pattern on my phone, so it's not got the requirement of being marked off. I don't know how to do that on my phone. And I've made the first one, well, most of the first one. I've left the thumb to go back to, and I have started the second one, and I'm on the increase for the gusset of the thumb. And it's quite nice just to sit. I love both of working on the pattern and both the yarns. Just keep trying it on. I'm desperate to finish them. Not that I need them, it's not cold just now. But yeah. I finished, I don't know if I've told you this one, I have finished the Croft House Hat by Ella Gordon. I used bright colours. I have pink and purple Croft Houses. Oh yeah, I did tell you, because I was talking about whether I had run down crofts, well, crofts with no ceilings because they're wrecked. But Twinset Aylin's done one, and also so has Turbo Gal Lisa, and I like both of theirs better than mine. And Turbo Gal Lisa has also made another boosty beanie from Instagram. She's just, I mean, she was last in the Croft House Hat too, so me and Ellen have got her on that. She can never take that back from us. I not competitive, really, I'm not. Sometimes I just get really childish. Yeah, I'll admit that. So I had said about the Crofts being left over from the mother and father, not using them anymore last episode. But really what I should have said is about the Highland clearances as well. Albeit, I don't think that was as big a problem in Caithness where it was in Sutherland. But it might have been an option. And I was listening back and I thought, why didn't I mention that? Because we've got a lot of old derelict Croft houses kicking about the county. I've been knitting on Kirsten Kapoor's Mystery Knit Along. And this is Through the Loops Mystery Shawl is a two-colour asymmetrical triangle. I recommend I would recommend from actually doing it, a solid or as near solid yarn as you can and have quite a contrast in both of them. And I do not recommend highly variegated yarns for this pattern. I would not at all. The pattern will not work well as a single colour. If you're feeling adventurous, try playing around with three colours. There's obvious places in the design to add a third colour if desired. That's actually what it says in the thing. But, well, we'll come on to that. It may be worked in any weight yarn, but you have to do the heavier the yarn, the more yarn you're going to need. The clues are all out now and you pretty much should be able to see what you're supposed to make. I think we've got another 2 days to the 15th of August before we can, not officially because there's nothing to stop us doing it, but from showing everybody our clues and how it goes on, because when it's a mystery you kind of like to have it as a bit of a mystery even if you're a little bit behind. So she did ask that from the last clue, please leave it a month before you use your photographs for your project pages, which most people have kind of stuck to or have put on the picture of just their yarns that they've chosen on the front page. And then they do have other numbers, but I found this a bit difficult because normally I'm like, oh, this is what I'm doing right now. And it's not so much fun when I'm knitting as a surprise or I'm knitting with review yarn, or I'm knitting with a mystery pattern that you're not really able to see, because then it gives me less to talk about or less to show. So but I don't know whether how many more I'm going to do mystery knit alongs, because then I've got nothing to show you and it feels like I'm doing nothing, but I was. Right, I am now on clue four. I struggle getting into clue four, the first clue and the flow, and then I realised use stitch markers and ta-da! There it was. It starts on lace and then it goes using two colours and it's a, begins with M, mosaic. Thank you, you at the back, for telling me that. And it's a flat texture, which I really love. Then there's more lace and then there's more two colour effect, more mosaic, and it's a different pattern from the first one. And it took me a few goes on this, but between all sections there's a very definite line of knit stitch. So it has its own lifeline, which I'd say was perfect because I've had to go back to it a couple of times. And then there's more lace and then more two colours and a different pattern and so on. And there's five clues in all. You need a good 400 metres of colour one of lace weight, well, fingering weight, sock weight, four ply. Choose one. Choose them all. Choose life. I didn't have it. I haven't chosen life. I've chosen the train spine way. There was much talk about using a third colour and how much you would need after clue two on the Ravelry board that she had to talk about it. Now, Kirsten suggested that you had at least 51 grams at the very, very least, and I had 47 grams. So I went back and I looked for another colour to match, which I'm quite delighted because I found dark green Sanguine Griffin Bugger that I've used before on a male ski knits pattern, the Menhunni shawl. Sorry, male, I just butchered that word. And this was a few years ago now. And I had some of this green yarn, dark green yarn left over, and this was from the lovely yarn salad. And hello yarn salad. And I thought this was awesome because I'd already chosen two gift yarns, both of which knit beautifully. The first one is from Woolen Flutes Francis in Canada, who was at my retreat last year, and she had kindly given me a skein of superwash merino lichen and lacy hand dyed in Sackville, New Brunswick. And it's a really, really light green with tiny amounts of flakes of yellow in there. It's delicate, pretty, and has been sitting looking at me for a year wondering what it would be. I also used a skein of superwash merino in the Periwinkle Sheep, and this is a cobalt blue colour, and it was the colour of Rhinebeck 2011 and a gift from our beloved Elsline, and I had been saving it for a special occasion. And I really like how it's paired with Francis's gift. So now it's paired. Well, you can't say paired, it has to be tripled. Tripled with Yarn Salad's gift. And it's a really lovely gifty shawl. I have it sitting, and I've, because I had run out, I started using the dark green in one of the mosaics. And now I'm carrying on to clue 4 using the lace in the dark green. And then I'm going to go back to the blue for the next mosaic and then finish off with the light green. So I'm hoping that it'll flow through and not look like, oh look, she ran out of yarn. You lot will all know. But if any single one of you come up and say, you ran out of yarn there, don't you? I'm never speaking to you again. Nope. And I'm going to steal all your toys. But you wouldn't, because you're nice ladies. And men. Right, so I quite enjoying this pattern. And when we went south to Bolton, I took it with me because Angela is knitting the same pattern as was Ella. Both were well ahead of me, and Ella's finished. But Ella had to do surgery on hers. So poor Ella. Although I have this vision of Ella wearing blue surgical scrubs and, you know, one of them old fashioned microscopes above her head. With the big gloves, and she scrubbed her fingers, you know, doing the proper washing, washing her hands with the way surgeons wash their hands, and then she's put the gloves on. She went in and she saved it, and it's beautiful, Ella. Angela showed me hers, and she she wasn't a surgeon, but she used Blacker Tamar, and I really love how it's the same pattern, but because it's in different yarn, how it affects it. Hers is a woolly and light and soft muted, and she too ran out of colour 1, but she's lucky because she has yarn in mass production. So next year, ladies, we can be shawl triplets, because I think that Angela might just finish hers as well as me. Oof, quite exhausted, that was just one project we're talking about. So I also took with me, I mentioned, some opal sock wool, and it's in a blue and grey, and it's called Talisman colour. And this was bought in Stornoway. And I bought needles and a pattern, and the pattern is Rapunzel's Tower by Becky Green. However, whilst the pattern's fine, and everything, there's cable in the rib, and then cable in the main body of the sock. I was in a camper van, and using DPNs on roads I didn't know. Well, yeah. So I drove on the straight ones, and I can't really knit on the windy roads, and I didn't get past the rib. Plus, I was wondering why my voice went funny. Yeah, my voice is going funny down here because I made the rookie mistake of dropping the DPN down the side of the seat. That's what the mistake was. But thankfully, the first time I got out, I managed to collect the extra needle okay, and I put my knitting down then. So I ended up with a cuff. And I started it again last week, and now I've got a good 4 inches. I'm well into the pattern now. I'm sort of getting to the point where I'm going to have to think about the heel. So I'm quite enjoying the yarn. It's good old sturdy opal. It's got nice colours in it, and I don't know if it's going to be for me, Daisy or Sandy. I'm making the small size, and I'm rattling away on them, but I did feel the need to sway about and occasionally drop needles down the side of my chair. But it was okay because I was in the kitchen. So I'm not really, for future, into liking cable on a rib. But maybe it's because I was in the camper van when I was doing it. And I'm past that now, and it really looks quite nice. So you know that way when things are hard and just to annoy us, because we know we need just to grit our teeth and the tenacity and just get on through with it and grit, like me doing my 12 miles today. So I'm using the chart and the pattern, which I'm finding easier to read. And it was the annual Tour de Fleece, which is the spinning along on days that cycle event Tour de France is on, and I thought I'd join in a bit. So I took my wheel downstairs, oiled it up lovely, and I really, really stuck to my 15 minutes a day rule for the first half of the tour. Then we went on holiday. And I started, and the wheel was still downstairs. When I wrote this, it wasn't. It was still downstairs, not now. I've put back up, out, tidy up, because the in-laws are here. And I was trying to get on at least 5 to 15 minutes a day, which is hilarious, because the bairns are on holiday, and most all activities are finished. You'd think I'd have all the time in the world. But no, I've been on GeoGuessr or Disney Crossy Road. But what I did spin was Dorito the Alpaca Fibre that I bought from Twin Set Jan when I was over at the Knitting Pipeline Retreat in 2014. I'm kind of kicking myself because I really didn't do a great job of it, to be honest. But the pencil roving was beautiful to work with. I over twisted it and I stupidly didn't read the wheel instructions and fiddle on. But I now have about 100 metres of worsted weight alpaca, quite springy. It's got a lot of it's got a lot of bounce in it. There's a right word for that, and you'll all be shouting at me just now. But it's going to be a sun blossom cowl, and this is by Twin Set Ellen. And I'm going to use some alpaca that I spun years ago. And it's a lovely cowl. I then finished that, and I dug out a silk hanky that Sando gave me, and I didn't know what to do with other than sit and look at it because it's pretty. Remember last year I knitted straight from a silk hanky and said if I was to use a silk hanky again I would spin it first. Well, that's what I'm doing. I didn't hardly get any meterage from the hanky, but not to fear, listeners of mine, I had another 100 grams in, I'd say, pretty much the same green. But this time I had bought it from Hilltop Fibres, and I'm slowly working my 15 minutes a day through it. I did an hour one day last week, but at night, let this be a lesson to you listeners, my hands woke me up in pain, because silk is not stretchy to draft, and it's a really strong fibre, so it can be quite hard on your hands to work with, and a little goes a long, long way. So when I put the wheel back down again, I'm sticking to my 15 minutes, and at the most, if I'm really enjoying it or trying to finish listening to a podcast, 30 minutes. So I had fiddled with my wheel by this point, changing the drive band, and voila, perfect twist to it. I really love my Ashford Joy wheel most of the time, but I hadn't actually used it for a few years, so the knowledge had gone out my head. So I relearned the knowledge and quite enjoying it, and just working on through the fibre that I have in my stash. I was kind of conscious that I was using a silk hanky that I didn't know how the poor silky worms died, and now knowing about the nice blacker silk friendly worm yarn that they have, Samite, it makes me a bit conscious of not buying non-friendly worms, because I quite like ecology and biodiversity and stuff. But I'm going to keep using them, working through the fibre that I have in my stash, and some of them are lovely gifts from Treen. Remember we used to do swaps? Hello, lovely Treen. And some of it's prepared by me, local fleeces, and then there's one Hebridean brown sheep from Isla, and that sits looking at me patiently. That's from Susan over in Isla. I also got offered a textile fleece from Valerie here last week. I was never, in fact, I was never going to process another fleece again. But there I was saying, okay, yes please. In my head, it'll be easy. I'm going to take the very best bits of the fleece, wash it, card it, spin it, and then knit Valerie something nice. Yep. Yep, I am. Yippity-doo-dah. Moving on. So I had a rummage in my yarn stash recently. Well, when we went to the Ironman Triathlon, Richard was conscious to keep his bike inside the motorhome, Merida, instead of chaining it to the bike carrier like everybody else does, because if it got broken on the journey down, that was his Iron Man stuffed. He thought, I'll put it on the top bed when we are driving and take it down and put it in the van at night and we can all trip over it. I was so glad when that bike was out being securityed overnight at the lake. Anyway, to save the bedding, because it was not ours, and everything, I thought, well, we're going to have to wrap the stupid thing in bags or something. Hold on! I have in my possession 4 bike carriers from IKEA. Huge big bags. But, listeners, well, this is going to give you an idea of what my stash is. One hosts my fabric stash. Well, actually, 2 hosts my fabric stash. And 1 hosts my yarn stash. And I can't get the zip closed from the yarn stash one. So the morning we were leaving found me pulling all my yarns into a huge big Hunt's bike wheels big box, which had 2 wheels in it, and giving him the bag for his bike. My yarn is still in the box, but I had a wonderful time throwing it in there. I was like the Swedish chef, hurdy-gurdy yarn everywhere. My point is about the stash is that some of it is more precious than other bits of it. For instance, the gifts that you listeners give me, that's precious. And I really like to make good things with it. Or just fondle it sometimes. And remember you. Or the charity yarn I bought when I first started knitting. I'm using that now for things like learning how to rag rug with yarn or punch hole tapestry. I think that's maybe the proper term. I've less preciousness about it. Ish, my precious. I have a small basket where the really precious stuff goes. The Caithness Colours lace weight that I can't quite bring myself to skein up because I dread the idea of getting it tangled in the winding process. So I really quite enjoy going through my stash, and that's one of the reasons that I've been trying to use from stash when attesting to some of my knitting. And actually, also last episode I reviewed the Knitting Goddess. I don't know why I'm going over here because it's not like you can see it. I was trying to find the wee ball of Knitting Goddess silk Brit sock that she Brit silk that she I reviewed, and I had blocked and now wound back up. I haven't actually made the hat. Yeah. Oh well. And the baby is a good 9 pounds, so it doesn't need a tiny little hat. All well with the baby, so it's good. There is another baby on the way, and I might possibly get this hat. If not, I'm going to donate it to the Queen Mother's charity drive, which I think might actually what's going to happen. I'm also review knitting some yarn I was sent in the post this week. Love yarn in the post. And I really enjoy it, really, really love it. I love a lot of things, but this is good yarn. So this is probably going to get a really good review. I can't tell you what it is, because the embargo has not been lifted. I don't know why, but embargo reminds me of umbungo. I think it's just because it's got G-O at the end. Umbungo, umbungo, they drink it in the jungle. Do you remember that juice? I don't know why they would drink it in the jungle. I bet they'd never even heard of it. Right, sorry, are you still awake, listeners? On to the sewing front. I had a request for a Mackay tartan project bag. So I had rattled one up and I used thistle material for the back and beautiful hand-dyed material for the inside. It was stupendous. I actually struggled giving that one away. Well, not giving it, selling it. I also made a couple of wee fabric boxes for the charity table for Parkinson's. The Caithness Quilters Wet Gala Week exhibition, that was that. It was some lovely, lovely work. I know a lot of very talented people. My mum is at the Birmingham Festival of Quilts this weekend. So possibly the next episode we will get a little review on what she thought. I've had mum send me a picture and my friend Ella from send me a picture of a quilt that was exhibited. I don't know who by, but it is of a runner, and I'd say more like a sprinter from their form, but it's the movement in it is awesome. So it reminded them of me, of them, it of me, them, you know what I mean. Right, onto the collective. Oh, no, not onto the collective, non-collective, because all the groups are on holiday and I'm on holiday. But they're going back this week, this Tuesday, listeners, so a more regular schedule will commence. In the library corner, I listened to a LibriVox version of Tale of Two Cities via iTunes and loved it. I wanted to know what Madame Defarge actually knitted. And it's a really long book, but I was quite engrossed and I kind of wanted Heather Ordover to tell me what it all meant in between hand. But her Tale of Two Cities, I think it was the premium thing. I'm not on her premium feed. Very, very good though. I also read a Con Eggleton book called Dunstan, and it's not Dunstan Checks In, which I was like, is that not a monkey? But it's about a 11th century abbey person in church, monk type person, and he is like a kingmaker, sort of like Cromwell from Hilary Mantel's books. Very interesting, quite an interesting time period, and I didn't realise that he was actually a true story until the end. I was thinking it was maybe based on a few people, but no, I think this was one person. So it was a reasonable read. Daisy has just had The Wee Free Men by Terry Pratchett read to her, and again, I love this book. She said it was her favourite, and we took A Wee Wishing Chair by Enid Blyton as a palate cleanser, and now we've started A Hat Full of Sky by Terry Pratchett because there's no more Nack McPheel fun to be had. And this one's got the tapping of the foot and the folding of the arms and the pursing of the lips. I love that. For those of you who aren't into Terry Pratchett, you'll all be wondering, what on earth is she talking about? Shoppy section. Oh, hold on, Division. Right, Shopee section, thank you very much for your purchase. I very much appreciate it. Okay. Ugh, my phone just did an alarm because I've got to put the potatoes on in the oven now. Tapas four. Right, Shopee section. It's going into Gary Tankmanda. Thank you very much for your purchases. I really, really appreciate it because it helps me kind of carry on with this. The shop has one Red McGregor, Macmillan, Robertson, and a Black Watch. And Black Watch is a tartan that you can use or wear if you don't have a clan, if you wish. Amongst many other of the 500, but this is one that I have. Remember what Angela told us last episode. How interesting was that? I just keep hearing more, when I listen back to it a few times, I think, oh yeah, that's quite good. Or, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And that's just, so I hope that you took the same amount as I did. She also pointed out or found the tartan I had was a McLean of Duart, and I have more of this. This was the random red tartan that I didn't know it was. So if you feel you'd like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft, or you can support the podcast and get nothing back if that's your want. You would do that out by messaging me and finding out what my PayPal address is. I'm getting closer to the phone microphone so that the dog's tapping of their feet and the pursing of their lips is not coming across too bad. I'm really happy to review patterns, books, yarns, notions if you're in that line, so don't be shy. There was a shop lady who got to touch with me not too long ago, and she had the most wonderful shall we say unicorny beastie yarn, and I should really get back to you on about that. So if you're in that line, don't be shy. Ooh. Ah, blah blah blah, thank you very much for listening and having the extra dogs. They're missing their master, which is to be said. He'll be back soon. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on and on and on. I would like to add that these opinions are mine and occasionally Richard's if he's on, and the dogs when they don't like or they see something that 30 fields over a blade of grass has moved since yesterday, I shall woof at it. Or, there's the weasel. I shall whiff at the weasel. You shall not see the weasel, so you don't know what I'm whiffing at, but I shall whiff at the weasel. My email... You've all turned off now. My email is kathnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as kathnesscraft. You can get the podcast from the Podbean site as www.kathnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. I did get enough W's in there. I'm using the Podbean Country Division and Good Time Music. Oh yeah, Good Time, I get to dance now. So, thank you for listening. Enjoy listening to this, probably on your Monday morning. And I'm looking forward to catching up on all the podcasts that I have not been managing to catch up on over the summer holidays. So, normal, proper normal, gets back to normal next episode. Thank you for listening. Keep on crafting.